And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a number of things, not the least of which is these ongoing reports about the supposed arrest, the imminent arrest of President Donald Trump, which is said, it was predicted that it was going to happen today. You had President Trump warning about this, that they were going to try to arrest him today, Tuesday, March 22nd, 2023. And of course, it has not happened, at least not yet. You have a number of websites reporting on this. In fact, I'm just going to read a short portion of Front Page Mag. This is what they published earlier. The headline, Arresting Trump, America Sinks Deeper into Banana Republic Status. That's the article. It goes on, it says, quote, America's descent to Banana Republic status, with the ruling regime having its principal opponent arrested on bogus charges, looks as if it's going to happen this week. The New York City Police Department was busy on Monday setting up steel barriers outside the Manhattan Criminal Court, as if it fully expects and may even be hoping for patriots to come out in force to protest against the destruction of our free republic and the weaponization of our justice system as a tool of partisan politics. Then it goes on to talk about George Soros funded Manhattan DA District Attorney Alvin Bragg seems determined to make history by arresting Trump. Now, this whole idea of George Soros-funded district attorneys and people in offices of political power, this principle, what you're reading, whenever you see stuff like that, because there's a lot of people who are attributing different political leaders and so on to George Soros, and he's part of the problem, but he's kind of a latter-day post-World War II entry into the problem, which really goes back to these tax-exempt foundations, Carnegie, Rockefeller, and Ford, going back to the early 20th century. One of the projects that we're working on, which will come out later after we finish American Jesuits, but one of the projects that we're working on is on these tax-exempt foundations and the Rees Committee. And this is what Rockefeller, Ford Foundation, and the Carnegie Endowment, this is what they began developing when they wanted to take control of our education system, and they realized they couldn't get the ordinary historians to cooperate with rewriting our history books, so they had to go and create their own pool of academics. So they set people aside, offered to give them the money and the opportunities and everything if they would cooperate. That's where it all began. And it started to subvert the education system, and I believe it progressed over time into taking control of our whole political system. And so other tax-exempt foundations joined in, George Soros' foundations, the Clinton Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all of these tax-exempt foundations. This is the key to understanding how they are manipulating our system, because they do it through money, billions and billions of dollars in tax-free money that these foundations are keeping. Now, this is really incredible. These people going around pointing to America's middle class and ordinary, hardworking Americans and saying, you need to pay your fair share, and yet they themselves are pocketing hiding billions and billions of dollars that they're not paying taxes on. They're sheltering that money in these foundations and then using it to finance the advance of communism and socialism in our country. That's basically what they're doing. They've been doing it for 100 years. So on the list of things that would have to be done to put a stop to the advance of globalism in the United States is to stop these tax-exempt foundations, to take away their tax exemption, and prevent anti-American groups from financing anything or really influencing our education system at all. But that's a tall order. Exactly how to get that done, who knows? And nobody's even thinking at that level, whether it's the Trump administration or anyone else. And now, of course, you know, we warned about this back when President Trump was in the White House, that he did not go after his enemies politically. He did not go after the deep state. He did not go after the Democrats that are running open borders and this kind of thing. These were all, much of what they did were punishable offenses. Black Lives Matter and Antifa burning down our cities, these are punishable offenses. But no one is willing to enforce the law. Aiding and abetting illegal immigration into our country, these are punishable offenses. The politicians should be prosecuted for these things. But no one on the conservative side of the argument, none of the Republicans, seems to be willing to pursue that avenue. And so they allow the enemies of America to run wild. And now what's happening? Now they're going after Trump, President Trump, who was fighting to try and make America great again, however imperfectly he did it, because he allowed them to continue in power. Now they are using that power against him. And who knows where it's going to go? I keep thinking about what God says in the Old Testament to King Ahab, when King Ahab defeated Ben-Hadad, the enemy king, and then made a deal with him and let him go. And God sends a prophet to say to Ahab, you see that man who you set free? Your life shall go for his life and your people for his people, because you let go out of your hand one whom the Lord had appointed for destruction. When a king, when a government refuses to exercise authority and punishment, judgment against the wicked, then the wicked eventually gain the upper hand. That's the problem. This is what happens to Israel over and over and over again throughout the book of Judges. But right now, that's how I see these events unfolding. Now, there, of course, I'm sure there are going to be twists and turns to this whole thing. And how I view it and the rest of us views it in 6 months remains to be seen. But right now, it looks like what's happening as of today, Tuesday, it looks like they have backed down, at least temporarily, the Democrats. The Gateway Pundit is reporting that Trump New York grand jury Wednesday session canceled. Apparently, the grand jury was supposed to get together Wednesday, which would be tomorrow, to make a decision about this indictment. And Gateway Pundit is reporting that session has been canceled after bombshell report that D.A. Bragg withheld evidence from the jury. Says the grand jury investigating President Trump over alleged 2016 hush money payments to two women who accused him of having affairs with them has canceled its scheduled Wednesday session and may not meet again this week, according to a report by Business Insider. So that's being reported on Gateway Pundit. You have the Daily Mail. Some of these stories seem to be contradictory. The Daily Mail that reported, quote, exclusive, Trump will not be arraigned this week. Former president is expected to be indicted tomorrow, and Secret Service will make plans for his surrender and appearance in New York court next week. So that's what the Daily Mail is reporting. They're reporting that Trump is not actually going to be arrested and taken into custody until next week. So all the drama for this week apparently is being delayed. And it says, the article says, quote, a source familiar with the proceedings told Daily Mail there will be no arraignment this week. Okay. And meanwhile, they've been putting up more barricades around the federal government buildings, the Capitol and so on in Washington, D.C. And they've been getting things ready in New York, putting the police officers on alert and this kind of thing, because they're thinking there's going to be some kind of uprising or protest or something surrounding the arrest of President Trump, if in fact they do arrest him. Now, are they planning to put him in handcuffs, walk him down the street, that kind of thing? Or will he simply surrender kind of privately off camera? Who knows? And who knows if they're actually going to go through with this thing? There's multiple people who are calling this out as a political stunt. The abuse of power. The federal government is not supposed to be engaging in partisan political anything, really. It's supposed to be a neutral instrument that represents the American people. But instead, it's turned into this warring tribal faction between Republicans and Democrats. And of course, a lot of it, we believe, is smoke and mirrors. A lot of it is kind of a Hegelian form of theater where they're not really opposed one to another. We're seeing that more and more as we're learning more and more that the Republicans, many of them are rhinos. Many of them are not really conservative, and they don't really represent the Constitution in the way that the Republican Party historically has stood up for the U.S. Constitution in the past. But what we're going to show in our upcoming film, American Jesuits, which I think is going to be a very important work because we're going to show the influence of Rome and the Jesuit order in the Democratic Party going back to the Civil War. Most Americans, I think, have no idea that the Democratic Party back in the 1800s was seen as the party of Jesuits. And I've got direct quotes from the 1800s to that effect. And we're going to be showing them in the film. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Once you understand the relationship historically, and then you begin to go and research it, all of this information just comes flooding in. It's unbelievable. And of course, the systematic subversion, not only of our political system, but of the churches, continues and is getting worse and worse, especially with the promotion of the LGBT heresy that's being taught. You know, I stumbled across a verse of scripture earlier from the book of Joshua. This is toward the end, toward the latter part of the book of Joshua, where you have, in fact, chapter 22, in 22 verse 11, where it says, and the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Apparently they thought that they had built some pagan altar, that they were going to fall into pagan idolatry and probably licentious practices. But if you skip down to verse 16, when they confront them, they said, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord? in that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? And they're making reference to Numbers 25, verse 3, or thereabout, when you have the whole situation with Balaam, where Balaam instigated immorality by casting the stumbling block before the children of Israel through King Balak. And what happened was, not only did the immoral women come in to seduce the men of Israel, but they came in with their pagan god Baal Peor. And if you study Baal Peor, if people were worshiping Baal Peor today, he would be the god of pornography. Let's just say it that way, okay? A god, if you go study Baal Peor, a really obscene ancient pagan god that inspired sexual immorality, okay? And so that is what they're referring to. But notice what they say there in Joshua now. Here it is many years later. And they say, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? In other words, there was the lingering influence of what had happened. And it continued among the children of Israel, in spite of the fact that they had put Balaam to death and put all those who were responsible to death initially. And yet here they are confessing that the influence of it continued with them. I find it very interesting that in the book of Revelation, Jesus is making reference to the doctrine of Balaam and warning about the influence of the doctrine of Balaam in the first century churches. Very, very interesting. But that's how I see what is happening in our country and in the churches today. It's the same doctrine of licentiousness and immorality that is being normalized more and more. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation, or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We've been talking about the situation with President Trump. We're just going to have to wait and see what's going on there. Are they actually going to present an indictment? And are they seriously going to arrest President Donald Trump and push some prosecution against him in what seems like an obvious attempt at keeping President Trump from getting back into the White House in 2024. We'll have to wait and see what happens. It should be very interesting. The next few weeks ought to be very, very interesting in this regard. All right, I want to push on to another issue now. This, I think, is a very important event that has been unfolding over in Israel. An attempt to outlaw the preaching of the gospel, not just on the streets for proselytizing and that sort of thing, which my understanding is the government of Israel has always forbidden, even though they have many messianic congregations over there and the gospel is preached in Israel, and you have Christian ministers that have been going there for many, many years. And even though I've never had the opportunity to go, I have heard nothing but positive responses and very, very joyful reactions from believers who have gone to Israel. They don't feel out of place. They don't feel unwelcome. On the contrary, they feel like it's a great blessing to go to the Holy Land. Praise the Lord. I think that's great. But now there's been a movement now that's gone on for a number of years. If you don't know about this movement, you should know about it. It's what is called the counter-missionary movement over in Israel. And it is headed by a guy named Rabbi Tovia Singer. Rabbi Singer is a notorious enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has spent years studying Christianity, the New Testament, and the writings of the Reformers. He studied the works of Martin Luther and the Great Reformation and all the great Christian writers and so on, and has developed a whole series of arguments trying to debunk Christianity and the New Testament gospel. And what his counter-missionary movement is dedicated to doing is not only preventing the advance of the preaching of the gospel in Israel, but also he tries to completely discredit the New Testament entirely and openly teaches that, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a false teacher and that Jesus was not really the Messiah, etc. And it presents all these arguments. The way I see Rabbi Tovia Singer is it's kind of like if you wanted to know what Caiaphas and the Jewish leaders sounded like who condemned Jesus 2,000 years ago, listen to Rabbi Tovia Singer, and that will give you a good idea. You want to hear a modern-day Caiaphas. That's really what he is. And you have to remember, these Orthodox Jews, and that's what he is, a modern-day Orthodox Jews, they admire the Jewish leaders who condemned the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and they've said so openly and repeatedly. So my suspicion is that this counter-missionary movement that has been operating for years has something to do with now this new attempt to pass a law in Israel to outlaw the preaching of the gospel, not just to outlaw it, but even any attempt to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, even on the internet, with the people of Israel, and a punishable offense. They can put you in jail for up to a year, possibly 2 years, but I'm going to play some news stories here. I want you to hear the description of this from other sources to hear what they're saying about it. Let's listen to the first story. And this is from Newsmax. They did a story on it. This is where I first heard it. Let's listen to Newsmax first, and then we're going to go to a Messianic Jewish teacher and hear his explanation of it second. All right, here is the story on Newsmax. Listen.
Conservative Christian leaders are calling on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to stop a bill proposed by members of his coalition to make it criminal to tell people about Jesus in Israel. Our Jerusalem correspondent Daniel Cohen is live near Tel Aviv with more. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, everyone. A big story just before, days before Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, sacred time for Christians. Two ultra-Orthodox members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition have introduced a bill that would punish believers for sharing the gospel of Jesus with prison time. United Torah Judaism Knesset members Moshe Gafni and Yaakov Asher introduced legislation last week making it illegal to share in conversation or produce content online, in print, or by mail. Their explanation of the bill emphasizes a warning to stop Christians in particular. The punishment? 1 year in prison or 2 years for sharing with someone under the age of 18. Joel Rosenberg is the host of the Rosenberg Report and editor-in-chief of All Israel News. He's also a Jewish follower of Jesus.
Obviously, Jewish people don't agree with Christians, evangelicals or others, about who Jesus is, right? We all know that there's a theological difference, but evangelical Christians and other Christians have been so supportive of Israel and the Jewish people. So to silence, to muzzle, and gag even Israelis like myself and others to say, you can't talk to another person about your faith and why you believe it, that is terrible. That is not freedom.
Okay, so that was the Newsmax story. And of course, the Joel Rosenberg interview was part of that story. And here he is speaking out as a Jewish person, New Testament, Israeli, citizen of Israel, apparently, according to what he said there. And he's very concerned, as of course we all should be. I think it's terrible that this legislation is even being proposed, but the Bible does tell us there's nothing new under the sun. And what many Christians have forgotten, and it's politically incorrect really to even talk about it, but nevertheless, the original persecutors of New Testament Christianity were the Jewish Pharisees. They were the ones who kept trying to silence the preaching of the gospel. They were the ones who were resisted by the apostles when the Sanhedrin said, "We strictly forbid you from preaching in the name of Jesus," and they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men," and they went out and they preached the gospel. And so that's what this is, really. This is a modern manifestation of the same conflict that we read about in the New Testament. All right, now we are going to listen to an exchange with, or some comments, I guess, with Dr. Eretz Sareff. He is the president of the One for Israel ministry. Now, he is a Messianic Jewish believer. He is a New Testament Jewish believer. And I've even seen some of his commercials. His commercials are really very inspirational, where he's talking about modern Israel and prophecy and things like that. I think they're very powerful. I don't know a whole lot about his ministry beyond the fact that he does promote New Testament Christianity for the Jewish people. And he is here in an interview talking about this new law, outlawing the preaching of the gospel. Now, if you listen to the whole of what he says that there have been proposals like this in the Israeli government before, but they've always been put down. They've never been accepted. In this part, he explains what is somewhat different about this particular proposal that makes it different from whatever they've done before. So let's listen to what he has to say. Again, Dr. Eretz, E-R-E-Z, Soref, S-O-R-E-F, president of One for Israel Ministry. Listen.
So you said that this has actually been a bill that's been proposed in the past. And so has it ever become a law?
The short answer is no. The closest it has ever gotten to actually become law was in 1999, where it's actually the same parliament member as the one that's put it now. His name is Mr. Moshe Gafni. At that time, the Israeli government, led by Benjamin Netanyahu, same prime minister as now, has rejected it. It began the process of legislation, but it was rejected. Important to say, Benjamin Netanyahu, our prime minister, is a friend to the international evangelical community. You know, that was his response at the time.
So, Erez, I would like to ask, what exactly is stated on this new law?
This legislation states that someone who solicits a person directly, digitally, by mail or online, in order to convert his religion, will be liable to the punishment of 1 year imprisonment. And if the person was a minor, the punishment would be 2 years imprisonment. So the big difference is that the question becomes, well, what's solicitation? Is watching a video about Jesus of Nazareth a solicitation? Talking about biblical prophecies in the Hebrew Bible fulfilled in the New Testament, is that proselyting? Is that soliciting? Is listening to the New Testament read, is that solicitation? Is reading the New Testament online a solicitation? Articles, books, what consists of solicitation? Now, that's the first, and it's a very big question. The key issue is freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And Israel stands out in the Middle East, and actually I think in many places around the world, as a complete democracy where we enjoy, all citizens, all minority groups, enjoy freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion. You can say what you want, you can choose what you want, any religion you want. And the issue here is that if this bill passes, then it could change the democratic nature of the country.
So that was, again, the analysis of Dr. Oretz Seref from One for Israel Ministry, One for Israel Ministry, and their concern about this. Now, he goes on to say that what makes this different, even though this kind of a law has been proposed in the past, is that now they are proposing it with some kind of an override, a government override that would prevent any other part of the government, like the courts, from opposing them and from putting a stop to it. They have a process very similar in Israel to what we have in the United States. If Congress passes a law, it can be challenged in the courts. The courts can shut it down. Apparently, the way they are fashioning this law is to prevent that from happening. Now, there's one more thing on this issue that I wanted to draw attention to, and that is I've been planning to do at least one show, maybe a couple of shows, on the teachings of Rabbi Tovia Singer and his counter-missionary movement. Because that counter-missionary movement, I am suspicious. I can't prove it just yet. I don't have yet a direct connection between Rabbi Singer and, you know, the guys who are passing this law. However, it's all moving in the same direction because Rabbi Singer and his supporters have spoken against the Christians and the Messianics who are preaching the gospel there in Israel. And if you listen to Rabbi Singer, he's constantly trying to debunk the Apostle Paul as a false teacher and this kind of thing. But the reality is, and I've had this thought over and over again, if Paul were a false teacher, then the things that he prophesied two very important things. Well, he prophesied a number of other things as well, but two very important things. One, that the Gentiles would hear the gospel. This is what he told Jewish leaders at the end of the book of Romans, that the gospel is sent unto the Gentiles, he said, and they shall hear it. And indeed, the Gentiles have heard, meaning believed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But the other is that Israel is blinded for a time until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and then Israel would eventually embrace the gospel and Jesus as the true Messiah, that this would happen in due time. In fact, our ancestors, many of our Puritan ancestors, ancestors like John Gill and many others who were Christian teachers, wrote about this in their writings hundreds of years ago, foreseeing that, yes, one day the nation of Israel would come to the salvation of the Lord. They would come to acknowledge Jesus as the true Messiah of Israel. And it's because that is what's happening, that is why this counter-missionary movement has been at work. And so I was listening to this discussion here on One for Israel, and at one point, the guy who's doing the interview makes this point. He makes the point that that's the reason why this law is now being proposed in this way, because of the rapid spread of the gospel and the embracing of the gospel by so many Jewish people in Israel today. But here, I want you to hear it from their discussion. I'm going to play a little bit more of it. Here it is. Listen.
You know, when I looked over the law as well, it's interesting that it almost, this proposal, not a law,
right,
you almost get the feeling, though, that it actually testifies to the nature of the success,
right,
of gospel proclamation here in Israel.
Absolutely true. And in the last 30 years, we have, in fact, and I say we as the body of believers in Israel, followers of Yeshua in Israel, we have enjoyed tremendous freedom, and we've exercised our civil rights to talk to our friends, to talk to our people, and let the Jewish people in the land of Israel and around the world know that Yeshua has been the best kept secret, that it is time for us to take a look for ourselves, that we need to examine who Yeshua truly is. And I think it's been a real eye-opener for a lot of people that for the first time in their lives interacted with passages both in the Hebrew Bible talking about Jesus and then also reading for themselves the New Testament and seeing this is not some terrible anti-Semitic horrible book that speaks curses upon our people, but rather it talks about the promised Messiah of Israel. So our prayer is that this season, where the window of opportunity remains open, that, you know, we will do everything within our power, and that's another prayer request, everything within our power, and please pray for the salvation of our family members, our neighbors, our people at this time of opportunity.
Okay, praise the Lord. So you can hear there calling for prayers for the Jewish people and for the gospel and the preaching of the gospel among them. As I began to say earlier about the counter-missionary movement and the arguments that they often make against the Apostle Paul, we don't have time to play them. I'm planning to dedicate a program where I go over some of those arguments. But essentially, if the Apostle Paul were a false teacher, then the things that he prophesied about both the Jews and the Gentiles coming to salvation, those things would not be happening. They would not have happened as they have for the past 2,000 years. And right now, what's happening as we're watching so many people who are part of the modern-day nation of Israel coming to salvation, that would not be happening. And so let me go over, I want to go over Romans chapter 11 and verse 26, where the Apostle Paul says, "And so all Israel shall be saved," where he says, "So all Israel shall be saved." Now, you have a number of different interpretations of how the nation of Israel is understood, and spiritual Israel. And of course, the reformers and the church, really for the greater body of 2,000 years, believe that the Israel of God mentioned in Galatians is all those who are both Jewish and Gentile believers in Christ who believe the true gospel. They are collectively the Israel of God. But here's what John Gill, I wanted to read this because I thought it was very powerful what Gill says. And remember, Gill's writing back in the 1700s. And here's what he says. He says, and so all Israel shall be saved. He says, quote, meaning not the mystical spiritual Israel of God, consisting both of Jews and Gentiles, who shall appear to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, when all God's elect among the latter are gathered in, which is the sense many give into. But the people of the Jews, the generality of them, the body of that nation called the fullness of them, Romans 11:12, and relates to the latter day when a nation of them shall be born again at once. When their number being as the sand of the sea, they shall come up out of the lands where they are dispersed, and appoint them one head, Christ. And great shall be the day of Jezreel, when they as a body, even the far greater part of them that shall be in being, shall return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, shall acknowledge Jesus to be the true Messiah, and shall look to him, believe on him, and be saved by him from wrath to come. Okay, so that was, again, me reading from John Gill, Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. And that's his commentary on Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. John Gill, who I'm a big fan of John Gill, I admit that. Can't necessarily say I agree with everything in all of his commentaries, but his commentaries on end time prophecy are really fascinating to me because he seems to have been so right on a number of key issues, especially where the nation of Israel is concerned. Important to remember that Gill was a Reformed Baptist teacher. So he was part of the Reform movement. He was a Reformed believer, but he was also a Baptist, apparently. So very, very interesting. When people tell you that Reformed teachers don't accept the idea that the 1948 restoration of Israel was a prophetic event, this is why I say your neo-reformed teachers do not believe what the original reformers believed, especially where prophecy is concerned. They certainly agree with a lot of the other doctrines, you know, the five solas and things like that, but they don't necessarily agree on matters of prophecy. And so this is one of those areas. But nevertheless, there were a lot of reformed teachers among the Puritans, among your Reformed Baptists, all the way through Dr. H. Grattan Guinness, who was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon. You can read Guinness's book, Light for the Last Days. You can read what he says about Israel. He's writing in the late 1800s and foretelling that, yes, the Jewish people are going to return to their homeland. It's simply a matter of time. Then he goes over all the different signs that are coming together, in his view, back in the 1800s. And, of course, the world would see it happen in 1948. Yes, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and the Word of God is true. Praise the Lord. And inasmuch as all those prophecies concerning the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, were fulfilled in the first century concerning the first coming of the Messiah into the world, we also believe that those scriptures concerning the Lord's second coming are also coming to pass, being fulfilled. And as the scripture says, none shall lack their mate. All will be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. All right. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.